you've ever wondered what practical innovation grounded in safety looks like in real life, this episode is for you. Drone Amplified has turned drones into serious tools for wildland fire and avalanche mitigation, giving agencies new ways to manage landscapes and protect communities. From ignition spheres to terrain-aware mission planning, their systems are built with and for the people using them in the field. We're going to dig into the tech, the origin story, and the human side of building tools for high-stake environments. Gentlemen, we have Dan Justa, Carrick Deitweiler, Ralph Blumberg from Drone Amplified, the people behind all this. Good morning. Welcome to Mountain Money.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah.
Happy Thanks for having us.
Right on. So please take us back to the very beginning. What was the moment in the lab when you realized wildfire ignition and avalanche mitigation could be done radically differently with drones?
Yeah, so it started out, I'm a professor at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln, and it was a research project we were working on. And the whole kind of philosophy behind the research we were doing, and this has moved into Drone Amplified, is seeing how, you know, what drones can do to really interact and change the world. So not just flying around taking pictures, but actually interacting. And we started out with the using ignition spheres on the drones to actually start back burns and prescribe fires, and realized that, you know, this was something that was otherwise done with a person with a drip torch or a helicopter with an ignition system in it. And we realized we could, you know, add a lot of the safety features and autonomy to make a drone do the same types of missions.
So using a helicopter sounds very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. The cost of helicopters is extremely high, but moreover, there are crashes almost every year where firefighters die in aviation. So about a quarter of all wildland firefighting fatalities are related to aviation. So, you know, the ability to use a drone and have the, you know, firefighter operator be safely on the ground is, you know, huge, while still letting them accomplish the missions they need to do.
Help us understand how mechanically does a wildfire, does a drone start a backfire? What does it do?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we actually carry these little like ping pong ball size ignition spheres. They have a chemical in them, potassium permanganate. And right before we drop them, we puncture them, inject them with a second chemical that starts a reaction. And then about, you know, 30 to 60 seconds later, these catch fire. So they're pretty small, like little balls. We can carry, you know, a few hundred of these. And this lets the firefighters very precisely start the fires where it needs to go. And one of the things is, you know, firefighters, you are always seeing like the air tankers doing drops. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that they actually use fire to fight fire as much as anything else.
So now what did the transition from your university research to a commercial field deployed system actually look like? And what nearly broke the project along the way?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as with any small company, you know, when we started out, we were just a few people actually in a garage. And, you know, there was just a lot of times where, you know, we were wondering what the next step would be and if we could make it happen. But we've been really fortunate to have really good partners in the firefighting community, a lot from the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, Department of Interior, who really recognized early on that this was a game changer for their operations and lives. So, you know, we've had lots of challenges along the way, and we've always been able to, you know, pivot and adjust to, you know, make it work.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to focus on your Montis system, which is avalanche control. Now, I've seen helicopters dangle some kind of reinforced system where they set off an explosive charge to set off an avalanche. How does it work with a drone?
Yeah. I mean, similar to the Ignis platform, Montis really is that middle ground where you have the helicopter option. So one of the examples that you're demonstrating there is a gas exploder. So a daisy bell is a common product you hang underneath a helicopter and you create a pressure wave and make a small avalanche, just like you would make a small fire controlled before it creates problems. But you also have the other side of it where someone's on the ground. You know, in Utah, people like to throw charges. They do ski cuts where they will get a small slide. And the whole idea is a small, relatively controlled avalanche will prevent bigger avalanches and allow for the mountains to stay open or the you know, DOT keep their roads running. So Montes really is that same conversation that Ignis has, where you can do this on the ground, you can do this with the helicopter, there's trade-offs. This is just another tool that we're providing, and we are essentially doing what someone from a helicopter is doing. A more common approach is heli-bombing, where you're throwing charges outside of a helicopter. So, you know, there's a pilot up front, usually a second man, and the third guy in the back has a whole bag full of charges where they're lighting and throwing them out the side. And you can picture just that alone, the safety profile you're taking on. But then add the fact that you're doing this in avalanche control world, where the weather means there's avalanche risk, which means there's wind risk. And so the Montes system allows for you to basically maybe not drop as many charges as the helicopter, but take the human out of the risk loop. And worst case scenario, you put your drone at risk, but you're not putting a manned aviation. So we don't have the data we do in the wildfire land, but, you know, helicopters do crash. I know on average, it's roughly 2 per year in North America. And those are obviously manned aviation. So really Montes is just that middle ground. So we're essentially doing what you do from a helicopter, but the big piece of technology that we solve is we do air blast. So the Montes system basically has an electronic system. So instead of it just being a pull fuse where you drop it and 2 minutes later it explodes, we do all the calculations on our drone so that when you drop the charge, it will blast at a predetermined height. So if you want a 2 meter or 6 foot air blast, you can allow for the explosion to happen above the snowpack and therefore spread its pressure wave and basically get a better energy spread. And that's really where we bring a new tool that brings humans out of the safety loop, but also introduce a better physics model for the same charge size.
So you don't have the bell hanging underneath the drone. I was thinking that the drone couldn't handle that blast.
Yeah. And that's the other thing with the bell is that you have, you know, typically an oxygen or some sort of, you know, fuel-based tank on side, or it's just the air that you're using, but you are using a big, heavy tank to carry around your gas. And so for ours, you're just carrying the explosive. So you leave with your explosive and you come back with nothing on it. So we don't have this huge slung underneath the drone, slung load, which is hard to control. But more importantly, it's a really simple system. And if you're doing avalanche control today, typically if you're using the Daisy Bell, which is the gas-based solution, you are most likely supplementing that in some way with actual explosions. And therefore, like, the drone just kind of fits in that middle ground. And a drone is a lot cheaper than a helicopter. It's a lot easier to fly a drone than a helicopter. So there's a bunch of other barriers to entry that we really do open. And on the other side of the avalanche control world is RACs, so remote avalanche control. So in Utah, you get to see all the VSIN towers or the GASX, where at your ridge line, you have these big towers that either are using similar to the Daisy Bell, where it's a gas-based explosion, or like the VSIN tower, where it's hanging a charge and exploding. But like, you can imagine a steel structure is not cheap, and then putting a steel structure on the side of the mountain, also not cheap.
Yeah.
And then maintaining said steel structure on the side of the mountain, the cost just keeps growing. And the drone, it comes home every night. So if you want to do maintenance, comes back to Nebraska or New Jersey to Drone Amplified. We do our maintenance every year. So it does allow and relieve a lot of the overhead that comes with these products.
So we have avalanche control conducted by ski patrols who work for the resorts, and also by the state, you know, to keep roads open. Like, you probably know of Little Cottonwood Canyon getting up to Alta and Snowbird. Walk our listeners through what a state employee would do. So they bring their truck to the location, open up the van, yeah, the back of the van, the pickup, whatever, and there's a drone. How do they get it to the right spot? How do they do all that? Are there cameras on it? Could you just walk us through what that looks like?
Yeah, so the general recommendation is, you know, you're obviously going to have a case-by-case setup, and you're going to have the shots that you're normally doing. So you'll probably have a destination that you're looking for. But our setup right now is, like you said, you show up in your truck or vehicle, you take the drone out, you throw your batteries on it. There is a visual camera and an IR camera, which you're required to do your sweeps just to make sure, you know, someone isn't getting some fresh backcountry ski right before you do it. And for a state employee, they're probably closing the road and making their normal announcements. But on your controller for the drone, we have a software called DA Flight that's made within Drone Amplified, where you'll basically set up a high-level safety net. So we call it a geofence, which basically outside of the zone will never consider arming the charge before you drop it. So basically, let's say there's, you know, an area where you don't ever want the explosive to go off. This is your safety net. So we do a bunch of stuff in the background where we protect the explosive from ever arming that particular situation. And you'll have a destination where you'll take off and you'll fly to it. and you'll have your GPS on the drones. You'll know exactly where you are. And if you've done that shot before, all the data from prior shots will show you. So if you shot, let's say you dropped the 5-pounder here and you got a, you know, an R2, D3 sort of slide, you can switch over and move it maybe a little bit uphill with a higher explosion with a different altitude air blast. But all that data lives inside the A-Flight. And the idea is you basically build your explosions or your charges at the back of your vehicle. It's typically a CAS booster or an AmphoSAC with a CAS booster, then our electronic igniter, and you use electric tape. We make it really simple to tie it all together. You attach it to the bottom of the Montis system, you make your electronic igniter connection, and you essentially do a normal drone flight up to your destination. So right now we can drop 2 charges. Anywhere from between 2 and 10 pounds is the recommendation, but we're pretty flexible as far as the size of the charges. You go to your destination. Once you're inside your geofence, you can arm said ignition, which basically charges the detonator to be able to be dropped. And then once you're at your final destination, you hit the drop command. It does all the air calculations and releases the explosion, and then we'll go off above the snowpack. And you either go and drop your second one or you come back home. And we have a bunch of other stuff that we add to the drone so that you can do hot swap, so that the drone batteries in cold weather are typically your limitation. So we have like a basically an insulating jacket that keeps the battery performance well. All of our testing is either done in a thermal chamber at minus 20, minus 30 Celsius, or up in Alaska live on the range. So we have lots of data to support the cold challenges. But then you basically plug in your next battery, load your next 2 charges, and you go right off. There's no like cool down between drops, as fast as you can fly safely. And because of that, it's a 2-man operation. You have the pilot in control is flying the drone. Typically someone else is helping build the charges, but get ready so that when you land, you can minimize your downtime. And in general, we foresee people dropping between 10 and 14 charges an hour. So you can get a pretty good coverage. Obviously the biggest challenge is how far you're flying from your destination.
Now, can that flight be automated? So there's no pilot? Like if you're always blowing this one ridge.
So the drone is capable of flying to a lat long that can be pre-programmed, as all drone technology is right now. I want to add something to what Ralph was saying before about downtime and doing lots of charges quickly. Closing an area, closing the road for Little Cottonwood Canyon is probably the most costly part of avalanche mitigation. So you want to get it, you close the road, which you have to, and then you want to get it open as quickly as possible. So with the new drone system, you're able to do that. You're able to knock off a bunch of charges really quickly, do your mission, and get in and get out. We're seeing up in Alaska, they're able to get their mitigation done in as little as 30 minutes and get the road back open.
So let me ask you, from a business perspective, what the product you're selling is obviously a piece of hardware, a lot of software. Are you taking somebody else's existing drone and modifying it, or are you manufacturing this yourself? Help us understand the parameters of the product.
Sure, yeah. So our fundamental process for Montis is very similar to our Ignis platform, where we take an American-made drone, it's a FreeFly Alta X, and we amplify it. So we add a bunch of hardware, which is typically related to the power system. So we have additional power rails available for integrations, but also we add a camera. So as we mentioned earlier, we have a camera up front that is for visual and IR. So you can do heat seeking, which obviously is effective on the wildfire. You're mm-hmm. looking for hot spots, for cold spots and all that stuff. The same thing applies on the snow world. You can see the ridge line. You can see where your weak layers are kind of starting to separate. So we add all that stuff, and then we make the whole Montis hardware. And then on the other end, so that's like on the flying vehicle, but at the radio, we also use FreeFly's Pilot Pro, which is your ground control system or GCS. We have our own flight software called DA Flight that is all homegrown. So we do rely on FreeFly's aircraft, but everything else is all DA Flight. We're not even, like, our software team is so picky that they don't rely on third-party libraries, which sometimes is challenging from the mechanical engineering front. Like, hey, I know this library is good. But the reality for the customer means that, like, everything is homegrown, and we've tested it for this use case, and we can limit or minimize the, like, random corner cases that show up, because you can imagine flying, you know, 1 to 2 miles, a couple kilometers out. You really don't want to, like, learn about some weird corner case. And so for this Montis system, as an example, we have over 2,500 drops through a little system we made at home, where we tested this electronic ignition, and we have 0 duds to date. which is super awesome because the pull wire system, if you're familiar with the avalanche world, typically, especially in Utah, you'll do a double cap and fuse. So you're doing two detonators, two safety fuses, and two pull wire ignitions because there is a chance that one of the two doesn't go off. And so with this new system, it's so reliable. There's communication with the detonator and between the detonator and the drone. So we are constantly communicating with it so that we know if there's going to be a failure before the failure shows up. And that means in the rare, almost impossible situation when that does happen, we can make it all safe and not worry about dropping a charge in the snow that you have to go hike and get when the snow melts.
Yeah, one of the things that has actually let us, you know, do, you know, move really fast with Montes is that it's based on a lot of the same technology that Ignis is. So we have hundreds of systems out in the field, you know, operating in all sorts of conditions on the fire side, and we're able to leverage a lot of the same hardware and software systems.
Yeah.
So that we can just, like, you know, we have a lot of confidence in our software and the hardware we're having our users operate with.
Yeah. So you had mentioned early on that you work with people on the ground, like up in Alaska. What is one piece of brutally honest feedback you got from the ground crew that has significantly improved, you know, made a big change to your products?
Yeah, I mean, so we're going into our fourth year of avalanche work. And as a reminder, you know, we're based, personally, I'm based out of Philadelphia, and Eric's and team are out in Nebraska. So Dan and I are out here on the East Coast in the not avalanche prone areas of the world. But we basically started this product, and as a typical engineer, I'll say in hindsight, where we like created safety on corner cases, and we took the, you know, end user out from the decision loop because we're like, oh, we'll just always fail safe. But when you're in these situations, sometimes failing safe creates another unsafe condition. And so really over the 4 years, what we've done is really without cutting corners on safety, we've kind of adapted more to manned aviation, but we've simplified how the process works. Before, a good example is when we load the charge in year one, you had to load the charge, hold the button, confirm that it clicked, and then you would attach the secondary system versus now you just push it up there and it like it's up there and there's no concerns because it's an electronic system. If it falls to the ground because someone made a mistake, there's no additional safety things. You don't need to reboot the system, wait 5 minutes because there's a cool down period. And now we basically follow manned aviation. So if there's ever a situation where an unplanned event happens, you can reset the fuse once and try again. And if it happens again, you should come back home, but maybe that's not the safer situation. So you can try again. So we really simplified the corner cases and really trust the end user who is the avalanche expert to make the right decision as far as the safety metric goes without creating some situation where, you know, you or I as a third party in this situation could be in an unsafe position.
And one more super short thing is like Ralph was saying, say deep making it simpler to interact with when you're wearing big gloves, right? Because it's generally cold, right?
Yeah.
That's not something. It's not very cold in Philadelphia. It gets cold in Nebraska, but interacting with the system with gloves on is something that we had to quickly adapt to.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Now, how do you think the cost and accessibility for agencies that may not have huge budgets but still face serious wildfire and or avalanche risk?
Sure. I mentioned earlier that you want to get the road or ski slope open as quickly as possible. And doing hand charges or helicopter stuff, that takes a long time. You gotta close for a while, and your windows might be small. The window with the drone might be a little bigger, so there's more opportunity to get in and out and get your slide zone open. As far as cost goes, you know, it's another tool in the toolbox. It's less expensive than helicopters. It's less expensive than installing a rack. So it does cost as much as like a large drone does cost. So I'm not gonna go into exact pricing. But it fits pretty cleanly into the current avalanche methodologies.
No, I mean, one of the things I was going to say is just that since we have a lot of commonality, you know, for you guys, for instance, it could be that you will use, you know, the whole drone system in the winter for avalanche mitigation, but then come you know, spring and summer, you can actually go out and use it with Ignis and do those types of things. And then, you know, you can mount a LiDAR on it to do, you know, precision mapping missions. So there's a lot of flexibility in what you can do with it. So it's not like, you know, even if you're only using it for avalanche mitigation a half dozen times a year in a slow season, you're still using it the rest of the year extensively.
And how many customers do you have now across the country, and what has your growth pattern been like?
Yeah, I mean, we have, you know, hundreds of customers using our Ignis system. And, you know, on the avalanche side, we've been really working closely over the past 4 years with the state of Alaska Department of Transportation. So they're the ones who have it right now, but we're looking to grow that extensively. And, you know, we have been, you know, we started out in 2017 with, you know, two or three of us. And now we have 26 people in offices split between Nebraska and New Jersey. So we're still a small company, but growing and really trying to, you know, create tools for, you know, users in really difficult, who have difficult jobs.
What are some of the other uses for the drone that you're looking at? Like possibly search and rescue, bringing food and water to people who are trapped up on a mountain, installing a loudspeaker, letting people know wildfire's heading their way if they're in remote areas?
Yeah, I mean, really all of these tools were, you know, looking at expanding. So yeah, search and rescue for avalanches, being able to just use thermal cameras to find, you know, people in forests or on the mountainside. You know, there's really just lots of opportunity. You know, you're seeing more and more use of drones around the world, a lot in, you know, armed conflicts, but, you know, we're seeing that those technologies come back to the, you know, civilian world, and really lots of groups are taking advantage of it.
Yeah. Well, we just spent a few minutes with Dan Justa, Carrick Detweiler, and Ralph Blumberg with Drone Amplified, examining their avalanche control and touching in on their wildfire mitigation. We'll get them back for some wildfire work later. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. It's been great.
Thomas.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.